Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forge D20 podcast. I am your Forge Master, Zach Coldiron. I'd love to welcome you all back. We are back from vacation, and I am absolutely ready to hit the ground running. Before we begin today's episode, I'd like to thank our sponsor. If you're in the need of a boat or an RV, you guys need to be reaching out to my buddy Dominic Neglio over at Boat and RV Outlet Hudson, Florida. He will definitely be helping you out with any of your boat or RV needs. So make sure that you guys go ahead and follow them on Facebook at Boat and RV Outlet Hudson. And you can reach out to my boy Dominic Neglio, who's going to get you hooked up with a sweet new asset today. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode of Thrones.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Forge D20's campaign, Thrones. I am your DM, Hunter, joined once again by my best friend, Zach, and my brother, Parker. We are very excited to be back with you guys, having left off last episode, adding Hathron, Parker, to the party, having him join us and show us, through very small actions but a very big display, his brutality and his perhaps necessity to our cause in defeating the dragon. After speaking with Hathron, upon seeing his deeds, slaughtering the orcs that had shortly before came and raided the village there, he agreed to work with us if we did some work with him first. A small pact was made. We would go with Hathron, Daedalus and Alistair, that is, and we would help him eliminate an orc tribe that's set up camp here in the Storm Coast, and that can't happen. There have already been enough menaces here with the dragon, and having the orcs here is even more of a problem. So it's something that mutually would be beneficial for both sides. So they agree to work with Hathron. But in particular, there was a moment that stuck out with Alistair, or to him, rather. The words, "all of the orcs," ringed in his head. Seemingly the only cause of distress between the two parties, the wording of their pact, "all of the orcs." Alistair objected, but Daedalus eagerly agreed to Hathron's terms. So we'll see where this leads. But for now, we're going to pick back up where we left off. Hathron, Alistair, Daedalus, the three of them having made their pact, are now on their way to the point of interest in today's episode, a place known as the Circle of Thunder. The Circle of Thunder is a location that is very sacred to worshippers of the storm god Talos, and this particular band of orcs worship said god of thunder. These orcs have made up camp in the Circle of Thunder to perform a ritual, and now it is up to our intrepid adventurers to put an end to this. So, we're going to pick up right where they're going to be arriving, just at the base of the Circle of Thunder. So, Hathron, Alistair, me, Daedalus. Ominous storm clouds gather in the sky as you approach a 90-foot-tall hill with trees spreading across its slopes. Atop the hill is a large ring of standing stones. Two ghastly figures dance within this henge, surrounded by a number of small, capering creatures dancing in circles around them. Other than this, you see an entrance at the base of the hill to your side. It looks like some sort of den from here. You can't quite see in from this angle, from this basin. But this is indeed the site of the ritual in which Hathron spoke of. And so with that, let's pick up. Hathron, Alistair, what do you do?
Is there any chance Hathron would know what this area is?
Yes, you know this is. You've researched this before, and research, I mean scouting. You've been tracking these orcs. You know why they came down here. That when this particular tribe of orcs, when they're in danger, they face a great threat. It is common for them to call upon higher powers and summon something to aid them, something from their god. You haven't found a name yet, But you do know they are attempting to summon something from your research, from what the other orcs told you back at the fishing village.
Okay. Hathron is going to crouch down real quick, kind of like taking a knee to talk with Alistair and Daedalus about his idea of what they should do and what's going on. He sits down and he kind of like waves them over to come sit next to him or take a knee with him. And he says, this is the Circle of Thunder. The orcs I killed spoke of this place in high regard. I believe when they face a great enemy, they choose to come here and perform rituals to gain assistance from whatever god they beg to. But there will be many orcs here.
Alistair thinks for a moment. So what do you suggest we do?
From what we can see, there is an entrance that leads into the hill, which I would assume is where most of the orcs are. But what's most important is stopping the ritual. I suggest the foolproof plan of rushing the shamans at the top of the hill as quickly as possible.
That's doable. I do have something that could potentially help us out. And Alistair reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a necklace with 2 fiery beads on it. How would you guys like to see something go boom? And he shakes the necklace.
Daedalus, for a moment, he's kind of inquisitively thinking upon what Hathron has proposed. On one hand, rushing them, going straight up the hill and rushing the shamans, and obviously listening to what Alistair has just suggested, using those are beads of fireball from that necklace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was on the right track. Daedalus thinks for a moment. And once we make it up the hill and we stop this ritual, we are just going to cut our way out of the hill, or down, rather.
Yes.
Assuming there are more orcs.
Yeah, I guarantee there's more orcs. You can feel them.
Do you think they might be coming out of that little entrance over there? And Alistair points over to the little slit in the side of the hill, like the opening.
Maybe we could collapse the entrance somehow? Trap them inside?
Alistair looks at the fireball. Looks at Hathron. Looks at Daedalus.
That's a large explosion. Don't you think that might alert the shamans?
What if I stay back while you two go to the front lines, get the attention of the shamans, I fireball this, maybe this entrance, and I maybe cause it to collapse, preventing any orcs from coming to flood out, and I can pierce anybody through the back line while you finish the guys on the front line. Maybe that's something we could do? Alistair's kind of scratching the back of his head.
So Atheron and I rush the hill. You wait for the orcs. You're the signal, which is us killing them. Blow up the entrance so that they can't have any reinforcements, rituals over.
It seems like a pretty good plan.
Daedalus nods. In agreeance.
It would appear Alistair is both noble in lineage and noble in mind.
Alistair, for a second, looks a little flustered hearing that. You kind of see him stiffen up. Thank you, Hathron. He kind of looks away. There's like, it's a weird mixture of fear and like admiration at the same time.
It's definitely a compliment. Like, Hathron implores your intelligence. He has like a weird respect for you both, but he also is like, these guys are fucking, might be a problem, but they're good right now.
Well then, Alistair, you wait here. The two of us will make our way up to the hill. Daedalus begins to sort of move towards Hathron and kind of nods at the hill like, you go on first. You're taking the lead on this one, buddy.
Yeah. All right, Hathron's going to run up the hill.
All right, so you're going to go ahead and take your action to dash. So you go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 60. So you get like right here. Disc, it's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. Disc, it's right there. As Daedalus and Hathron are moving up, Alistair, you can move into a position that you'd like real quick.
I would like to stealthily try to obscure myself from everyone's vision that's in front of me, so I'm going to hide behind the tree, kind of peek around and watch what you guys do.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me a stealth check real quick, just to set me sort of a DC for whoever may be trying to see us later.
15.
Okay, you're hiding pretty good. 15, not bad. Alright. As you move into position, Alistair, I would also like you to roll a perception check.
Ooh, okay. Perception. 13.
Okay. Alistair, you see this from a distance as this begins. Daedalus and Hathron will move to their perspective after I explain what you see as it unfolds. As Daedalus and Hathron are booking their way towards the base of the hill, trying to be as fast as possible so they can get up there and get into position so you can blow up the front entrance. Excuse me. As they're running, to the left, sort of southwest of Daedalus and Hathron, you see emerging from a sort of path that diverges from the base of that hill, from that entrance, it kind of just shoots straight south from it. There's a small clearing to a pathway. You see coming up that path what looks to be a group of orcs. They've spotted Daedalus and Hathron before they can spot them. In their number, you count 5 orcs total. One at the very back, who looks a little different from the rest. You see a little bit of elongated features to this orc. This orc in particular has limbs that are abnormally long, and specifically their arms, and they have large talons coming off of their fingers. You see a sort of blue war paint has been drenched on their face as well, in the shape of a lightning bolt. As they approach, you hear them shouting in a language that you do not understand, aggressively at Daedalus and at Hathron, as 3 frontline orcs begin to rush in towards your 2 allies, and 2 backline orcs seem to be posted up with crossbows, and you see the shaman-esque being at the back, wielding a ritual staff, begins to wave it in the air towards the skies. Daedalus and Hathron, however, the same thing that I just described is happening, but from your perspective, as you're running, Hathron, you hear shouting in a language that you do understand, in orc. You hear shouting, "There, interlopers, kill them!" And then you hear a "Wah!" from the 4 or 5 orcs that are there as they come rushing forward to meet us in battle. Now, Hathron, roll me initiative. Alistair, roll me initiative. Alistair, you roll with advantage, though, because of the perception check. Nice. We do not get it because we spent the turn running. No penalty for running. And, only a 9.
Bad.
Daedalus gets a +2. Bad. Let's see.
What a crock of shit.
That is an unnatural 20.
Nice.
And now I'm going to roll for the orcs, and I'm just going to do them as one group.
Hopefully you get to go. You guys get to go before me.
The orcs get an 11, so...
Oh, cool.
First will be Daedalus, then it will be Hathoron, then the orc party, and then Alistair will go last.
Damn.
So, that being said, Daedalus sees the orcs after hearing their language, a language that he does understand. Immediately, Daedalus' head turns. He stops on a dime, planting his right foot in the ground and kind of slides forward a little bit, kicking up dirt with him, immediately brandishing his sickle. You see him kind of lower his stance, ready himself, and he starts running to meet the first orc he sees in combat. So he goes running up to this orc 10 feet, 15 feet in front of him. And as he runs up, Daedalus is going to brandish his sickle, and from a sort of bottom right to his body, he's going to take his right hand, sink it down a little bit, and he's going to rake it up and sort of diagonally across the torso of this orc, or attempt to. Let's see if he hits, though. Daedalus gets a plus 6. A 15. 15 hits. Daedalus is going to roll his damage. He gets a plus 4 to his sickle. Let's see. Daedalus does 7 damage to this orc as he brandishes his sickle, running up to meet this foe in combat. He slices across this orc's torso. You see an immediate gash and spurt of red blood kind of misting into the air. As Daedalus swings the sickle up to the left, he brandishes it, sort of twirling in the air to bring it back down on a follow-up on the following turn. But other than that, that is Daedalus' turn, as we now go to the Orc's Bane. Hathoron, what do you wish to do? You see 6 orcs in front of you. One Daedalus has already met in combat.
Hathoron is gonna stop running. He's gonna look up the hill. And he's gonna look at the orcs and Daedalus. And he's going to run up the hill.
Hathoron. You dog. Very well. You charge up the hill.
That's right. Ballsy.
That is ballsy. But he has an objective. You can tell. He's one track mind. Fine.
It's either Daedalus can take him. And he is who Hathoron thinks he is.
25. 30. 35. 40.
He'll do it himself.
55, 60. Hathoron, you get just to the edge of the first sort of Stonehenge-like pillar. Very reminiscent of that in our world. As you run up to the sort of corner of this hill, you see what looks to be 6 twig blights doing some sort of ritualistic dance around 2 orcs that are brandishing both of their staffs horizontally in both hands towards the sky. You see their eyes have rolled back into the back of their skulls as they're chanting out, Kali Ma! Kali Ma! And you see the twigs continue to dance. You've ran up to this hill, so you do have your bonus action. What do you wish to do? Because you had to dash to get this far.
Yeah, I'm going to enter Rage.
Okay. So, Hathoron, to describe your rage, you begin to feel this. Immediately upon seeing these orcs, you see this sort of dark sacrament they're performing for their pathetic god in your eyes. You see these pathetic little twigs dancing around them, how weak they are. And it just angers you to think of what these orcs might do if they summon anything, what evils they might commit, how atrocious it is to you that they even dare exist in the same realm as you. And in that moment, you feel the very anger you feel towards your father. Your ears begin to burn, and it feels like the blood beneath your skin begins to boil, and your teeth clench hard. You can feel the grinding of your teeth and sweat begin to perspirate from your body as you enter your rage, and you're ready. Next turn begins, you're going to charge in there and begin the wanton slaughter. Anything else?
I think that's all I can do.
Very well. We're going to move to the party of orcs that Daedalus is engaged. Upon seeing Hathron begin darting up the hill, the anchorite at the very back is going to call out. You see him, Alistair, you hear him speak in another language that you don't understand, but you see him point at three of the orcs and points them up, or not three, sorry, two of the orcs and points them up towards Hathron, as if sicking them on him. He barks orders at them, and you see two of the orcs immediately break off and start heading towards Hathron. The others, however, stay here and engage with Daedalus. And the ones that are running up, you see one brandishing a cleaver, sort of running up towards Hathron's backside of the hill. They're dashing up there currently, at least that one is. He's going to get about 10 feet from Hathron. And then the other is going to move his full 30 feet, and then he's going to actually ready his crossbow, load a bolt, and he's going to shoot an arrow, or shoot a bolt at Hathron. Now, he is at a lower angle. You're uphill. Remember, this is a 90-foot tall hill that they're on, this Circle of Thunder. So from this angle, he's shooting up about 45, 50 feet towards you, Hathron.
Mm-hmm.
This orc has a plus 1 to his ranged attacks. I'll roll it so that everyone can see it. That is a miss. A 4 does not hit. So, Hathron, as your back is turned and you're experiencing these symptoms that I described of your rage, you hear a sudden ba-ding as a crossbow bolt goes flying in about 6 inches to the right of your head. You see a crossbow bolt hit the stone, penetrate, kind of impact within. And it signals to you that they are coming from behind as well. And you turn your head and look down the hill and see the coward who dared attack you from behind at the base of the hill. The next orc is going to be, because this one already wasted his turn, there's one that's about 10 feet away from you, Hathron. He wasted his turn dashing. Now, the four orcs that are still at the base of the hill, they're beginning to engage with Daedalus. The one that's in front of him that he already attacked is going to attempt to counterattack. He's going to take his own sword, short sword it seems, and he's going to try to plunge it into Daedalus's gut. He has a plus 2 to this attack. A 6 does not hit. So, as he takes the short sword after the pain of the cleaving strike that he received, he's going to immediately try to counterattack, plunging his short sword towards Daedalus's gut. Daedalus dexterously moves out of the way as he brings down his follow-up attack on his next turn. To the left of that orc, another orc is going to attempt to circle around Daedalus. He gets behind Daedalus as Daedalus is fighting with his ally. And with advantage, he's going to attempt to stab Daedalus as well. He's wielding a longsword. Plus 3. With advantage, though. An 18 hits. Oof. Let's see if he rolls a 20. He does not roll a 20. So Daedalus gets hit by this guy. So this guy runs up behind Daedalus. Alistair, you see this. You see an orc. Let me describe for a moment. You see, as Hathron makes the conscious decision, you see him look at the orcs, look at Daedalus, look up the hill, and choose to go running up the hill. You see the two orcs chasing after him, and you see the rest of the orcs at the base of the hill begin to surround Daedalus, as this one managed to get behind him and plunges his longsword into Daedalus' backside. You see, as it goes in one side, out the other, right from probably the bottom left side of his lower back, right out his abdomen, and you can see Daedalus call out in pain. Ah! And you see this sort of darkened blood kind of begin to ooze from the wound as the sword is plunged out, or taken out, of Daedalus's body. The next orc is going to move to the other side of Daedalus. So Daedalus has orcs on three sides of him. His left side is the only one that does not have an orc around him currently. This orc is going to attempt to strike Daedalus with a mace. Rusted in its look, you can tell this thing is barbaric. Hope you have your tetanus shot, Daedalus. An 8 does not hit, however. As he brings down his mace, Daedalus sees it coming. This guy's a little bit slower than the guy who moved behind him and stabbed him in the back. Daedalus, much more aware now of his surroundings, manages to move out of the way and dodge the blow. Lastly, for this pack of orcs, the Anchorite of Talos, he's going to move up 30 feet towards the base of the hill. And he's going to raise his staff towards the sky. You're going to see a sparkle of sort of static electricity that begins to grow in number. And this becomes just sort of like this sort of Tesla coil-like look and sound as he's casting Bless. As you see, 3 trickles of light shoot out to his allies. 1 to the orc that's about to meet Hathoron in combat in melee range. Another to the orc wielding the rusted mace that attacked Daedalus, and 1 that shoots to the orc with the crossbow that shot at Hathoron. And that is the end of the orc's turn. Alistair, it is now your turn. Mm-hmm. You are at the base of this great tree, and you see the chaos unfolding in front of you. This plan that you came up with quickly being completely sideswiped by this patrol of orcs.
Oh, man. Yeah, fucking threw a wrench in our plan. So... oof. All right. I think I'm going to try this. Alistair is going to pull something out of his little pocket. He was given this little holy hand grenade. And he's going to chuck it. 15. I'll just use circle. I want to get these two. So I kind of have Alistair throw it to where Daedalus isn't in it. But these two orcs are. And they need to make a constitution saving throw.
Ooh, constitution. They've got a +2 apiece. So I'm going to go ahead and roll this to everybody. It's going to roll them together, but one's a 13, one's a 19. They so, okay, so do they take half?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and roll me the damage for that holy hand grenade, and then describe.
This grenade, Alistair chucks it, and Daedalus, to your left, you hear a thump, like a thud in the ground, and you just see this little ball just kind of sitting there, and then you see it collapses on itself in a bright light suddenly doom begins to illuminate itself like a small star has made its way onto the material plane, and it quickly dissipates as it singes the skin of the two orcs that are to his left.
Wow, that was quite the throw, and very fortunate of you, because you managed to kill the first orc, the one that Daedalus had already cut up with his sickle. You deal the killing blow. You watch as his already weakened body just completely collapses, and you see his entire back is covered in scorch marks. His clothes have been burned off on the backside of him, and his skin is just beyond recognition, just a gray leather material now. Ooh. As he lays there smoking in the sunlight, or well, lack of sunlight, in the beneath the storm clouds. The other orc, you can see from his right shoulder down his tricep and parts of his backside of his ribcage, you can see has been singed by the heat of the sun, basically. And you watch as he grimaces in pain. He drops his mace for a moment, picking it up with the other hand. His right arm seems to be a little bit weakened, needs to be tended to. Daedalus manages to avoid the blast for a moment. He's a little disoriented from the light of a sun being unleashed in front of him, but catches his senses and sees that one of the orcs is now dead. He looks back towards the direction of Alistair, and he kind of nods, knowing that that was you. We're going back to the top of the order. Hold if on. That was the only thing you need.
No. I was going to ask you a question, since technically doing that was my action, right? I still have movement and a bonus action. Is consuming a potion a bonus action?
A good question. This sets a strange precedent in this campaign because this is the first time I've been asked this question, so I have to remember this moment and keep coming back to it.
I'll write it down.
I would say consuming a potion, for the rule of cool, I won't count it against you as a bonus action. As long as it's only one potion. If you go to consume more than one potion, no. That's a whole ass bonus action because you're trying to take three shots in the middle of a battle. If you're taking a shot or whatever or something, you just uncork it and I'll say it's free action because you could do that while you move.
Okay. So we'll just say I'm using my bonus action to drink a potion of invisibility.
Okay.
Alistair turns invisible and he's going to start walking 30 feet up to about here. He's going to try to tread, make sure he's not making too much noise, but he's going to try to catch the Dragonborn off guard. Or not Dragonborn, the Orc. I apologize. Well, he's going to catch his friend off guard, too.
He's going to kill Daedalus? Damn.
Yeah, ruthless, brother, ruthless.
Oh
but that's Alistair's turn.
The Orcs killed Daedalus.
Oh, no! It's a shame, really.
All right. With that being the end of Alistair's turn, we're going to go back to the top of the order. Daedalus. Daedalus is going to, upon seeing this orc with the rusted mace attempt to attack him and his arm being lowered, he's going to turn his attention rather to the orc that stabbed him in the back. He's going to take his turn to go ahead and bring a overhead vertical from top to bottom north-south strike, just sort of cleaving downward on this orc, trying to cut him asunder. 11 does not hit. As he brings the sickle down, this orc merely leans back out of the way, avoiding the strike. After that, Daedalus is going to use his second wind as a bonus action to gain back some HP from being stabbed in the back. So let me do his little... Let's see how much HP he gets back. He took 8. He gains 8. Because he has plus 3 con. Alright, Daedalus gets back 8 HP. Alistair, you watch as Daedalus does something that you've seen once before. You see him take in this deep breath, his chest begins to inflate, and he watches the muscles on his body begin to sort of recompose themselves. They begin to inflate back to their previous mass before he started losing so much blood, and you watch as the blood flow begins to sort of clot up near his abdomen area from what you can see. Daedalus sort of self-heals in this moment. But other than that, that is the end of Daedalus' turn. Hathron, you can see the orc that shot at you at the base of the hill. Well, not quite the base, but near the base of the hill, about 50 feet away. You see another orc about 10 feet behind you rushing up the hill. You can see the foaming mouth as he snarls towards you. Wah! As he tries to meet you in combat. You see him wielding an axe in either hand. What do you wish to do? Because there is the ritual going on in front of you as well.
Let's see. What would Hathron? Hathron is going to continue towards the shaman dude on the right.
All right. You go running up to the shaman dude theater of the mind for a second, because I'm going to be doing something for one moment as I mute myself. Give me 1 minute.
Can go right to him.
fucking bugs in his house. Just so you know. All right. Hathron, you begin to move up towards the orc that the shaman, the second or third anchorite of Talos, that's reaching up towards the sky. As I said before, they're chanting towards the sky, Kaliba! As their eyes roll to the back of their skull, you see a flurry of clouds above them begin to swirl, and thunder and lightning begins to accost the surrounding areas. You attempt to move up upon this creature, but as you walk by one of these small twig lights that's sort of twirling around dancing towards the or to the tune of this chant that the orcs have been chanting to the skies towards their god, this twig blight watches as you interrupt this ritual and immediately tries to slash at your leg. It does not get a bonus to its melee attack. However, it does nat 20 you. So, that twig blight is going to slice right at your Achilles tendon on your right leg, Hathron. You take double damage from this attack.
Because I'm raged, I resist. So would I just take normal, or would the 20 negate? Okay.
You just take 4 damage to your health as this little twig blight takes its thorny hands and rakes them across the heel of your right leg. What do you do?
I ignore the twig. And I attack the shaman anyway. So I'm going to use my great axe.
Okay.
Yes, get fucked.
You are level 4. So you can't attack more than once.
Okay. And that's... Remember, that level 4, you got 2 attack. Yeah. 9 damage. Hang on, I gotta read the thing. And I get an extra +2 to my damage, because I'm raging.
So, 11 damage.
11 on the shaman. And then I'll turn and throw a hand axe at the little twig guy.
No, he's only 5 feet away from you, so you would take a penalty to throwing that axe.
Oh, then I'll just fucking hit him with my great axe.
There you go. Oh, you definitely hit that dude. Let's see if you kill him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That twig is pruned, I'll say. You, would you like to describe the attack as you hit both, or are you okay with me describing it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, go for it.
Hathron, as he's running towards the shaman, he rears back and turns his axe to like sideways, like a frying pan kind of, and smacks him on the head with it, and then rotates, and through rotating hits the twig. The twig person, and it just shatters into a million little sticks.
You watch as one twig blight becomes many small twigs before you, just kindling to a fire later for your next sort of camp that you'll be making here. You think to yourself, as you turn your eyes back to the shaman, you see he is rocked. He is seeing stars. You see him doing the stanky leg for a second because you hit him so hard, and he begins to regain consciousness, and you see that he is full of anger and fury as you dare interrupt this ritual of his. I'm going to roll him initiative and add him to the encounter as well now. But it's going to be him and the Twig Blights. His other orc buddy will join on their initiative whenever he's not in a trance. He gets an 8, so they actually go last. Alistair will go before them. Is there anything else you can do, Atheron?
I would like to do like a war cry or something and try to get some intimidation off, if I can.
Okay.
Go ahead, how do you... Let's just d20. I'm very scary.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Oh, a natural fucking 20. What the fuck?
Describe.
He hits the.
How do you hear him?
The shaman's kind of snapping out of it or whatever, and he's pissed off, and he's kind of like huffing and puffing and screaming a little bit at Hathron, and then Hathron looks at him, locks eyes with him, and just screams as loud as he possibly can, and spits flying out of his mouth and flying into the orc's face, and then anything that can, you know, within the radius of this nat 20 that can hear it. Is like, holy fuck.
The many little twigs that was once that twig bite begin to shake in fear. They tremble. As you do not... I wouldn't even say a war cry. This is a cry for murder. A cry for annihilation of all you see in front of you. All of these twig bites and these pathetic shamans. They know now that the end is near, and you can see it in the eyes of this orc. They have made a grave mistake in not completing this ritual sooner. So you see this fear sink in. He has now got the fear affliction upon him, so he's got a debuff upon him. He's not going to be able to attack you with the same amount of zeal as he once had. You know the fear effect for D&D, so... That being said, as he's frightened by you, the twig blight that is about 10 feet to your southwest and the twig blight that is 10 feet to your north are also frightened by you. The other orc and the other twig blights appear unaffected and still stuck in a trance. That being said, Hathron, that is the end of your turn. Now the orcs that were in that initial party that came from the southwest, they're going to begin their turn. The one that was 10 feet to the south of Hathron is going to follow him up the hill. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. He gets right on Hathron's backside. As he sees you sort of begin to accost and interrupt their ritual, you hear him scream out, "Traitor!" in orc as he runs up and starts attacking you with his axes. So he's going to take an attack against you, Hathron. Does a 12 hit?
No.
A 12 does not hit. He misses. Wait, no. You are currently flanked. Forgive me. He has advantage. You've got one in front of you and one behind you. Does a 17 hit you, though?
No.
What? What?
An 18.
Hathron Blackman. 18. Goodness gracious.
What the fuck?
He's nigh indestructible. As this guy brings his axes down one right after the other, just in a quick, rapid flurry of two strikes, one misses. The second one feels like it hits, but nothing happens as he watches as this axe sort of merely glances Hathron, sort of nicking his body, but you watch as the area that he's hit is so full of scar tissue, calluses, and just the density of Hathron's skin, this hide that he has, it absorbs it. A small paper cut-like length, probably about 6 inches, 7 inches, but not very deep. And a small little shrivel of blood, but nothing to him in this rage. Hathron, you feel a slight tickle from behind you as this someone calls out traitor to you. Additionally, the second orc that was following you, Hathron, he's going to continue going up the hill. But he has to dash, and he won't be able to shoot you 5, 10, 15, 20, 20, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. He's trying to get into a good position so he can hit you and not his allies. He gets right there between two twig blights that are dancing. And now we're going to go to the two orcs that have sort of semi-surrounded Daedalus. The one with the rusted mace is going to move to Daedalus' southwest and get back to flanking position with him, stepping over the corpse of his burnt ally from the Holy Hand Grenade. He's going to attack Daedalus with advantage. Oh, 22. No, 21. Excuse me, because he gets plus 2. They added the 3. 21. That definitely hits. Let's see what the damage is from this mace. We get the plus 2 to damage. 3 damage as this orc wields his mace. He's just going to take it from the left in his weak arm. Or non-sword arm, not even weak. He's not weak, he's strong. But in his less primary weapon-wielding hand, he's going to take his left hand and just smack Daedalus across the face with the mace. As Alistair, you can see, even from this distance and your invisibility, you can see a piece of one of Daedalus' teeth go flying off in the distance as a small streak of blood also coats the air around him. Next is the orc that stabbed him in the back. He's going to attack Daedalus with advantage as well. He misses, however, as the other orc strikes Daedalus in the face. The other one was attempting to cleave him and try to cut his head clean from his shoulders. Daedalus' head, now angled out of the way, just happenstancely happens to move out of the way of this head slashing strike. Alistair, we now move to you.
Okay, so
he watches. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
You watch as these two orcs are just beating the whole... Oh, I forgot an orc. We have to go back. Forgive me. The Anchorite of Talos.
Rewind!
I forgot to use him. Yeah, forgive me for a moment. Nobody's perfect, even DMs. But the Anchorite of Talos, he had not gone yet. He is there conducting this sort of ambush against us as we were... Because he's patrolling the ritual as it was going. His party found Daedalus and Hathron and began to attack them. He's going to move up the hill to join his shaman brothers as he knows the ritual must not be interrupted. 20, 30, 40, 50. He gets right about here from Hathron. And that is going to be the end of the Anchorite of Talos' turn. Now it's your turn, Alistair. Forgive me.
No, you're good. So in this moment, Alistair is kind of just walking casually. And he's going to mutter something. He's going to use a feature. He's going to use Hexblade's Curse on the one that he's just invisibly walking behind. And as he does that, he's going to stop as he gets right behind him, pull out the obsidian rapier that belongs to his family, and sink it into the back of the orc. As you can see, Alistair turn from invisible to visible again, with the blade maybe piercing the armor. Let's find out. Please, 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 please. I do have advantage because I was invisible, so... Nice. 17.
17?
Yes.
Very good. You hit. Roll me your damage.
All right. That is max damage. That is 10 points
of Describe piercing damage. Describe how you kill this orc.
Alistair's just going to poke it in the back, just like I described it. It goes through. The orc has its blood trickle from its mouth as Alistair pulls out the blade. And the orc sinks down, groveling at Alistair's feet. Let me see. Oh, I can regain 5 HP, but I already did that.
You also can retarget your Hexblade's Curse.
I think it's a bonus action, though, right?
I'm not going to charge you for it. You can just point at the other guy, because you just instantly killed this guy without even having to really use its damage. So you could point it at the other guy if you want.
Yeah, and then
or at the anchorite way up the hill.
No, I think Alistair is a special little plan for them up there. Alistair's going to point and mutter something under his breath, and you can see this black aura now surrounding the other orc that's in front of Daedalus. I'm going to use the rest of Alistair's movement to get right next to Daedalus, to be by his side. Just in case anybody else wants to come popping out of any fucking areas, but back to back. I got you. That's it.
Army of two. All right. I believe now it's the, yes, it's the Twig Blights and the Anchorite that Hathron scared. The Anchorite that Hathron scared is going to run away from him. He does not want to be near him right now. Hathron, as he leaves your distance of reach, you can opportunity to attack him.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Can I use anything, or do you want me to be picky?
You can. What do you mean? So it's an opportunity attack. Use your melee weapon.
Yeah, good, good.
Not the damage. You got to roll to it. Oh, you already did roll to the 10. 21. You know,
21 and 14 damage.
Hathron, describe as you try to kill the fleeing coward shaman.
He starts to, like, I could tell, like, by his body language that he kind of leaned back, like he's getting ready to run away. And so when he takes a step back and he's on his off foot, swing my axe low to try to hit him in the legs. Kind of that leg that's, like, reaching forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I give him a good old whack. Does he die?
Oh, yeah, he's dead. I said, describe how you killed this
one. Oh, okay. Then let me backtrack a little bit. I swing my axe, and I chop his leg off at the hip.
Oh! You watch as he just falls to the ground like a sack of potatoes. He crawls for maybe a second or two, and then just goes limp from the blood loss. You watch as he thralls around in pain, screaming out, and then the screams just go silent. That is the end of that orc's turn, because he died. Now the two Twig Blights are going to do the same thing. They're going to try to get away from Hathron. They're going to move 30 feet away. All right. That is it for those Anchorites. Or that Anchorite and the Twig Blights. So we go to the top of the order again, I believe. We go to Daedalus, who is now in a two-on-one situation, quickly realizing that the orc behind him has been dispatched by Alistair. Daedalus kind of looks at you for a moment. Well, at least one of my allies didn't fucking abandon us. And then immediately he's going to take the sickle and just kind of quickly try to cleave it from right to left of the collarbone of this orc and just try to slice him down real quick. Oh my goodness, Daedalus, please hit an attack, brother. As he misses, this one just immediately, he sees this one coming. Daedalus looks a little slow in this moment as this orc also just sort of leans back right out of the way of it. As it goes maybe 6-7 inches in front of his face as it just slides right by. You hear Daedalus next to you curse himself for missing. You can see the anger in his eyes at the failure of his attack. We next go to Hathron, back to you. You just killed that orc in your opportunity attack.
Alright. So if I, like, move to this orc's, like, back left, would that be okay? Would I take...
As long as you stay in his reach as you move.
Okay. So yeah, that's where I want to kind of go, like, right here. So now I'm in between two of them. And then I'm gonna, do an attack, and as my bonus action, I'm gonna frenzy as well. So I'll use my great axe on the first one, which I'm just gonna hit the little button. So it might roll damage too. It should. Yeah. Okay. So I hit that first orc.
Mm-hmm.
And I will now do the, what is that? The shaman guy? Yeah.
The anchorite, yeah. You could say shaman.
It's probably just too.
All right. So describe as you. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. I just the plus two for that six.
Yep. So describe as you you kill the first orc, the one that had the two axes. You kill him with the first attack. The second one does not kill the anchorite, however.
Okay.
But you can describe how you wound them.
I'll let you do it. I got nothing.
Alright, so you take the first swing, the initial sort of berserking orc with the two axes in his hands. As you sort of move around him, you watch as he tracks your movements to his side, and as you're moving, you keep your eyes on the anchorite of Talos. You're almost looking past this guy. You take the axe, and you just swing it from right to left, plunging it into the side of this one's skull. As you pull it out, you swing it back on the backswing towards the orc in front of you. Now, you're just one-handing a two-handed great axe. So you just imagine you're taking your right hand and just swing it into this one's skull and then ripping it out and swinging it back towards it, the other one. As you swing back the anchorite, you don't quite hit the neck. You hit just, like, beneath sort of the shoulder area, sort of where, like, your shoulder sits, that, you know, ball that you have that is your shoulder. Just a little down on the sort of... tricep-bicep meeting point on his arm. You watch as the axe cleaves in, and you watch as his arm is just barely hanging on by whatever remnants of bone was there. He's hurt, but he's still alive. You watch as the anchorite shrieks out in pain. The other dies. The regular orc, he dies from his wounds, the axe being embedded into his skull. Anything else, Hathoron? Orcsbane?
That is... Actually... I can move a little bit more, can't I?
Yeah.
I will go right here. And that's it.
Alrighty. We go to... The last of the band of orcs that initially showed up, I believe. No, there's one more, the one that you're, the anchorite. So the anchorite is the only one left of that band. Oh, and the archer. I forgot about him last turn. I have to use him again. But that's okay. So I've got three guys I got to do a turn for. The anchorite is going to go first this time, actually. The anchorite is going to attempt to attack you in return, Hathoron. He is going to do... give me one moment. He is going to attack Shocking Grasp on you, Hathoron. So, he's going to make an attack roll on you. Advantage if you are wearing armor. Are you wearing armor?
No.
You do not wear armor. Very well. He is going to, without advantage, attempt to Shocking Grasp you. Let's see if he hits. He gets a plus four. Oh, he rolls a one.
He grasps
he tries
himself.
To reach out and shock and grasp you, and instead he grabs a hold of your axe. As you reach out, you basically, like you're checking somebody in hockey, you ring up your great axe, and you both grab onto either sides of it. You can see the lightning sparkle in his hands, but it does not conduct across your axe as he's grabbing part of the handle, so it's sort of grounded in a way. That being said, he is grabbing onto your axe as cause of this axe. So you're both kind of in a fight of strength for this thing. So go ahead and roll me just this little sort of bonus action frame, rule of cool stuff. Roll me a strength check as he's trying to steal that axe while he's at it.
All right.
That is a 13 from him.
I got a 14.
You got a 14.
Oh, I get advantage on strength checks.
Okay.
Okay,
14 still 14. Wins, though. You successfully grab your axe, and with a mighty heave of your biceps and your triceps, you pull the axe and wring it out of the anchorite's hands. As you see him sort of hiss at you as you do this, you can see a sort of sparkle of lightning shooting from his eyes. He's going to be getting ready to cast something else next turn. Can I get all three of us, so me included, roll perception checks on your characters real quick for me?
14.
Babelus, don't see it. He's too busy.
I got to find perception.
It's in your skills.
There you go. Okay. I'm an idiot. It's plus zero anyway. Fantastic.
So, Hathron, you do have enough to see it. 5 was the DC. Daedalus just rolled 4 because he has a plus 1 to wisdom. So, Hathron and Alistair, you hear all around you, you've realized as this fight has progressed that the lightning and the thunder has gotten more and more common, more repetitive, more strikes, and they are getting closer and closer. As you look up at the previously swirling cloud line, you now see a sort of orchestra of dancing lights casting across the cloud line, surging around you. You hear the thunder cacophoning across the hillside here, and you see the eye of the shaman that is still locked in trance. You see his eyes grow a bright, vibrant blue as his whole body begins to shake in this sort of trance and throttle back and forth. You hear him still, Kalima! Kalima! As he calls out to the sky, you see the sky begins to open up just for a moment. You realize they are about to reach the climax of this ritual, and you have to act soon. The two of you realize this. Daedalus is too busy focused on the one orc he can't seem to kill. That being said, we're going to... That was the anchorite. So the orc that is about a little bit more than 5 feet, but not quite 10 feet away from Hathron. He had the crossbow. He is going to put himself between Hathron and the final... anchorite there. Sir, it's not your turn yet?
Just checking things.
Audience didn't see that, but I'll just describe that Zach decided to cast Fireball in the middle of my turn.
No, that's not my plan a big at all. AOE. No,
I cast the magic missile at the darkness. Cast
Fireball.
Magic missile at the darkness.
Fireball!
I cast, or I don't cast. God damn it, now you got me saying I'm casting. Sorry. This orc is not casting. He's putting himself between the anchorite and Hathron. He's 5 feet, or not quite five. He's 10 feet away from basically either of you. He's right in the middle, and he's going to take the penalty of shooting this crossbow at close range with you. Oh, he definitely misses. He panics. He puts himself between you and the shaman. He knows he must do this. He aims the crossbow, but in your flurry of attacks and you swinging from the left to the right with your axe, killing one orc and then cleaving it into the anchorite, he shoots a round of the crossbow, and the bolt just shoots right over your shoulder, Hathron, right by you, whizzing by. You don't even realize it. He begins shakily reloading another bolt into the crossbow. The orc that is down here with Daedalus and Alistair, he's going to attack Daedalus again. Watch this whole fucking... Okay, it didn't. Okay, thank you. Thank you, I'm not being slaughtered by one orc anymore. Goodness gracious, alright. So he misses, he rolled a 7, well, 9, with his bonus. He's going to move just a little bit, though. He's going to move So he's no longer sort of facing us at a weird angle. He's got either of us to the sort of 45-degree cone in front of him. He's not doing any breath attacks. He's an orc. But he's going to end his turn there. Now, it is... I believe it's Alistair's turn.
Oh, fun. Alistair is going to turn to Daedalus, because Daedalus did make a comment earlier. Yeah, Daedalus, I would never leave you behind. But do you want to see something really fucking awesome? Alistair's going to pull out the necklace, take a little bead, he's going to chuck it, and he's going to fucking... What happens here is basically you see a little marble begin to roll.
Because, remember, this is a 90-foot high hill, and we are at an angle.
Oh.
So you've got to make quite the throw to get this up there. So go ahead and roll me a... it'll be dexterity, because you are throwing the object.
Give me your hand, Daedalus. We can use the momentum together.
Power of friendship.
All right, so you said dexterity? All right.
Yes.
Eight.
So I'll say it's not quite on target, but it does good up there. So go ahead and move that. I'll say roll me a D4. This will determine the direction.
Three.
Okay, so it's going to go south, and then roll me another D4. Three spaces down. So make it go three blocks down.
One, two, three. So, yeah, okay. Hathron's in it.
And the Anchorite that is attacking him. Both Anchorites and Hathron and the Orc and two Twig Bites.
And that is okay.
All that would be remaining is three Twig Bites.
Sweet. So, yeah, I'm going to use it's
go ahead and describe it now. Now you've done it.
So, Hathron, since you'll be the one primarily seeing this, as you see a little bead come rolling across, and you can see that this bead is swirling inside of it, is this very, like, fiery kind of, like, looking texture, and you can now feel the heat beginning to turn up, and you can feel this pressure as suddenly the ground beneath you implodes as a giant fucking ball of fire emerges from where the bead once came from. Everybody inside the bead needs to make a DC 15 dexterity saving throw.
Oh! Hathron, you go first, and then I'll roll all these other guys.
Fuck.
Wow, that gets rid of your rage bonus, so you take the full damage. Don't roll the damage yet. I'm going to roll individually for each of these guys. This is for the Anchorite that Hathron is fighting right now. He passes, so he takes half. The Anchorite that is currently locked in trance, he fails. And I'm not going to bother rolling for the two Twig Bites. They are instantly eviscerated. They are made of wood. The fire turns them to dust, and the other orc in the middle between Hathron and the Anchorite. He misses as well. He fails, not misses, excuse me. Alistair, roll your damage for your fireball.
Whoa.
My goodness.
30 points of fucking fire damage.
Hathron, you take 30 points of damage.
I don't resist it either, because I rolled a fucking...
Yeah. Holy shite.
Uh-oh.
How much HP do you have?
34.
Like, left or total?
Left.
After taking 30 points of damage, you've got 34 more points?
Yeah. My full HP is 68.
Oh my goodness, at level 4?
Mm-hmm.
D12 plus... 3 or 4. Yeah, okay, I mean, that's not... Yeah, I mean... Damn. Alrighty. Damn. I mean, Hathron, you're hurt, but you're alive. I'll say that, you're alive. You're just covered in second-degree burns, I'd say, from head to toe. So you're missing. You're bald now. You're not bald. I won't make you be
his
bald.
His dreadlocks catch fire,
you're,
and
some of your dreadlocks have caught fire and are singed, but you still have like all of your hair. You just have a lot of like smoke coming off of like the singed parts of your head. But your clothes, a large portion of cloth on your clothes have begun to burn completely off.
You can say he protected his face with his axe.
Yeah. So we'll say your beard and stuff doesn't get messed up. It's protected.
I gotta protect my beard.
To describe, you watch Hathoron as the previously described orb of fire just kind of, it's a little bit bigger than a marble size, like a large marble. You hear the clink, ding, 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 and then you hear the sort of humming. You can feel the earth beneath you begin to vibrate, and then skadoom! All around you see this engulfing inferno as you hear the cries of the orcs that are caught in the fire. You're, oh, oh, as they kind of just roll around and they are engulfed in flame. This orc dies instantly. I almost clicked Hathoron and deleted him. That might have been funny. That orc dies. The orc that was engaged with Hathoron, the anchorite, is dead. The one that was also engaged with him, the crossbow wielding one, he's instantly eviscerated. He's right in the middle of it. The twig blights are also eviscerated, and this anchorite, I have to roll for him. He's the only one left. He saves it. So he lives, but he is covered in second degree burns as well as Hathoron is. And he's blasted. I'm going to say both Hathoron and this anchorite are going to be knocked back 10 feet away from the source of the blast. So Hathoron, you're going to move diagonal bottom right of yourself. You're going to move 10 feet, sort of like rolling down the hill a little bit from the blast. And you are knocked prone. This guy is going to go 10 feet back, 5, 10 into the stone wall. And he's going to stop there. Hathoron, you sort of are regaining your consciousness, looking around. All you hear is the ringing in your ears. You hear nothing but ee! And you're sort of briefly concussed as you begin to regain vision of the world around you. What do you do?
So I run back up.
Mm-hmm.
Moving diagonally, that's still 5 each, right?
Yes. Okay. As long as it's touching.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. I think my movement would be. Yeah.
He is just out of your reach.
Alright, I'll take it. And I will throw. Let's see what. I'll throw one of my hand axes at the the one guy.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a your attack to throw it. So it's dex instead of strength. You definitely hit. It doesn't matter if it's dex or strength. You definitely hit.
Gotta do 12 instead of 10.
12 damage. So describe as the hand axe that you pull out and you just throw it at this dude as you're running at him. Describe.
All right, so Hathoron rolled down the hill and he catches himself and digs his hands into the dirt and shakes his head to kind of readjust himself and just sprints right back where he thinks he came from. And as soon as he gets back up the hill, he sees the shaman and he just beelines it straight towards him, and when he's about 5-10 feet away, he pulls out his hand axe and slings it as hard as he can at the shaman, and it's a haphazard quick throw from like the hip, and he throws it kind of misadjusted, so the back of the axe hits the shaman in the head, and so the blunt force from the flat part of the hand axe smacking him in the forehead dents his skull in and causes brain matter to shoot out his nose and his ears as his head kind of implodes from the force of the quick toss. And he smacks his head into the back of the wall he's standing in front of, or fallen in front of.
Alright. That anchorite is dead. As he dies, all of the twig bites wither and crumple into small piles of twigs. Oh wait, we skipped Daedalus after Alistair went. So we're gonna do Daedalus' turn real quick. He's gonna attempt to kill this orc, and then we'll describe what happens after killing that last anchorite. I'm just gonna get this out of the way. Oh, he finally fucking hits him.
I was gonna say, if you don't do it, Alistair would be like, stab.
He does enough to kill him after all of he's been through. He does 5 damage. Daedalus takes the sickle, and just with a quick arching strike, twirling the sickle in between his hands for a moment, he takes the pointed end and sticks it right into the orc's neck, and just plunges it right back out of the artery that's grabbed on, as you watch the orc slowly begin to fall to his knee, and then begin to bleed to death. As this happens, Hathron is also killing the last of the anchorites. And as this happens, all 3 of us can't help but hear and see. So we hear the gusting of the wind on the tree line. We watch as this vortex opens up in the sky before us. Hundreds of bolts of lightning, an orchestra, a symphony of thunder erupts all around, ringing your ears to the point of pain, mind-numbing pain. And then Hathron, you are knocked back again, this time in between the arch of this stone hedge, 15 feet almost down the hill. Hathron, Alistair, and Daedalus, all blinded by the flash of silver-blue light that burns our retinas as we hear SKADOOM! And shortly after the flash of light, you hear as immediately you see this massive beast that has been successfully summoned from the realm beyond by the orcs. Do you see on the screen before
Holy
you?
Holy shit!
Yeah. Yes.
Send me that picture, bro.
You have access to it. It's in the module, my brother.
I'll use it to promote the podcast. That's fucking cool as fuck.
Yep. Use it for this episode and next, because that is the end of this episode. Before you, Alistair, Daedalus, Hathron, is Gorthok, the Thunderbore, a demigod of the god of Talos, summoned by the Thunder Circle of orcs. But for tonight, that is the end of this combat and the end of this session, as in the next episode, our party will face the full might of a demigod brought to the mortal realm. I want to thank both of you for attending the session and for being here to record this with me. I want to thank the audience for being here. We couldn't do this without you guys. We really appreciate your continued support, your continued listenings. And if you are interested, you can follow us on our socials. We have a Reddit now. We have Instagram. We have Facebook. And, of course, you can always check us out on Patreon, where we'll be launching some new one-shots and some new Raw and Unforged commentary episodes, some podcast stuff for you guys. That's exclusive to our Patreon subscribers. So if you guys want to check that out, it would be very appreciated. Any little bit will help as well. But that being said, I'm Hunter, your DM for Thrones, and I just want to say thank you all so much. You all have a wonderful night.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for today's episode of Thrones. We really appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'd like to thank our sponsors and our patrons as well. First of all, shout out to our patrons. Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. You all are fucking awesome. I love you so much. Hunter loves you so much. Parker loves you guys so much. Thank you so much. I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, the Major Issues Podcast. If you love comic books, TV shows, video games, go ahead and give them a look. You can give them a follow on Spotify. You can also follow their Facebook page. They're a part of Comic Book Click. I believe they're live every Wednesday, so make sure you guys go check them out. Give them a like. So everyone, thank you for listening. Continue to forge forward, and we'll see you next time.